If you got your Bibles, I want you to go to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to continue this series, Transformed. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, He, Jesus, has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. We have been transferred to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, if you miss any of the other messages, you can jump online and check some of these out. But we've talked about this, that when Jesus died on the cross, He rescued us. In other words, He made it possible for us to be saved. That without Jesus, we were without hope. So we pictured this in a prison cell with no windows, no doors, no way out. When Jesus died on the cross, He kicked the walls in and He made a way. But it doesn't stop there. It says He rescued us and He relocated us, or He transferred us. We heard this in week one, that in order to be transformed, you have to be transferred. So the scripture says transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of light. So we've moved from what we were into who we are. You remember this scripture says that whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. So we have been rescued, we've been relocated, and then we talked about this last week, we have been redeemed. Redeemed. Remember what redeemed means? To be bought back, to be purchased. As we celebrate communion today, it's the blood of Jesus that paid the price for my sin and for yours. That literally whatever we've done in the past, whatever we will do, the enemy has no power to hold it over you because it's been covered by the blood of Jesus. How many are grateful for the forgiveness that comes through the blood of Jesus? So there is now no legal indebtedness. If Jesus didn't redeem us, even though we've been relocated, He could call us, but the enemy could call us back because we owed Him something. So I want you to just kind of picture this, the domain of darkness and the kingdom of light. I want you to picture two different addresses, two different locations, because as we talk about being transformed, we have to leave one in order to experience another. I love watching all kinds of sports. The Summer Olympics are coming up. I love hearing the stories of all the athletes, and you get invested, right, in their journey and all of this. And it's really common right now to hear about athletes that are believers. There's a basketball player, NBA guy right now. Every time in his press conferences, he's just sharing the love of Jesus. He's saying Jesus is coming back. I mean, you hear this stuff all the time. But it's interesting that when someone's a believer, a lot of times we'll say something like, "Man, he's a real good Christian," as if there's also bad Christians, right? He's a real one. He's a real Christian, man. That's a good one, right? No, he's not just a Sunday Christian, right? We have like degrees of Christianity, as if there can be mediocre Christians and bad Christians and past Christians. But shouldn't it be that if we're a Christian, that we should be a Christ follower? It's also kind of sad that we would have any degree, that if you said you were a Christian, it's kind of sad that someone would have to make the assessment, are you a good one or are you a bad one? Are you all in, or are you somewhat in, or are you just sometimes? No, if you're a Christian, it should also represent some type of life change. So this is what we've been talking about, is transformation happens from being transferred. So when you say yes to Jesus, there should be a line of demarcation of what you used to be to who you are now. That I am not who I used to be. That I am growing in God. That I'm becoming more Christ-like. That even if you weren't to see me for the next couple of years and you saw me, hopefully I'm more like Jesus in a couple of years than I was a couple of years ago. That I am in process of, not only have I been transformed, I'm in the process of being transformed. And I think the disconnect for many people is that many people have or profess faith in Christ and have a moment of transformation, but they just don't stay transformed. Right? They give their heart to Jesus. They have an encounter with God. And then, like, everything changes, and they change the bio in their social media, right? They're like Christ follower. They tag the church in there. And then 3 months later, it's not as intense. They're not as dead. What happens? What happens to the transformation of the moment? Why doesn't it last? Why is that transformation not happening for a lifetime? I just recently, I shared this, that my wife and I, our family, we moved houses in the last year. So we left one address, and now we're at a new address. And so we've had some issues getting our mail. I shared that. And the post office got messed up with our address. And this, we thought we had everything figured out. And I was ordering some food, some dinner, some DoorDash, right? DoorDash and something. And the food came, and you know, your dasher takes a picture of the food where they leave it. And so he takes a picture, and I get the text, and it's not at my house. It's a bright blue door. I don't have a blue door. And I'm like, that is not my house. But the map showed that they were close. Like, you can see, like, where they are. It's like, this guy's close. He's just got the wrong house. So this is why you have kids. I'm like, kids, get in. We've got a mission. We're finding the blue door because dad needs his dinner. All right, so we jump in the truck and we're going around the neighborhood. I'm like, if you see a blue door, tell me. And so we're driving and they're like, Dad, there's a blue door. And so we pull up, you know, covertly. And I'm like, here's the deal. Dad's got to stay in the car. You know, just out of, you know, I'm the only one that can drive. So the engine will be running. The doors are unlocked. But you see that food that's on the doorstep? It's not theirs. Just make a mad dash, grab the food, and jump in the truck, and off we go. And so, you know, they jumped out of the truck, ninja rolled, grabbed the food, come back in, jump in the truck. I peeled out. Not really. We took off, went around the block to our house, right? We got our food. The sad thing is, this has happened multiple times. So multiple times, we pull up to their house, ninja roll, grab our package, and take off. I think they have a camera, so I think they just kind of just resigned to the fact that we're going to visit every once in a while. And I was thinking about this in light of transformation, because I think for many of us, the reason we can't stay transformed is that we never stay at the new address. That we've been transferred, or we've been relocated with new opportunities and new options. But for many of us, we digress back, or we go back to old patterns, to old habits, to old addresses, to that's what's familiar. And for many of us, this is the disconnect from being from having a moment of transformation and a life of transformation. Paul, in his letter to the church at Colossae, we read in chapter 1, he continues in chapter 2, he continues in chapter 3 to tell us how to live a life of transformation. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." This address is over. It says, "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. So put to death." Now, I'm just going to help you understand this. Does the Holy Spirit put it to death? Does your pastor put it to death? Does church put it to death? Now, this is talking to the believer. It says, "You put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your old address. Put to death whatever belongs to that old life, whether it's sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed," which is idolatry. "Because of these, the wrath of God is coming." Now listen to this, verse 7. "You used to walk in these," this is your old address, "in the life you once lived." If there is not a line of demarcation between what you used to be and what you are now, then you have to be transformed. That you have got to let go of some of the things of the old so you can step into some of the freedom that happens in the new. The transformation that lasts is a transformation where you actually begin to choose to stay a part of this new life, this new opportunity and this new address. Paul, when he writes to the church at Ephesus in the book of Ephesians, and he begins to explain to them that they have been made worthy. Now, for many of us, the reason that we say no to the old address, bad desires, sin, all of these things we shouldn't do, the reason we say no to those things is because we're trying to gain something with God. That if we just live right, then God will answer my prayers. If we just live right, then God will love me more. If we just live, and I'm going to tell you this, when Jesus died on the cross and he bought you back because he loved you. And he didn't love you like partially, and then when you do good things, he loves you fully. He just loves you completely then. So no matter what you do or don't do, he's not going to love you more or less. You're not more anointed because of this or that. You don't have more access to God because of this or that. He just loves you, period. And for many people, we feel like God loves us less because we're living over here in this address. But God loves you completely at the greatest capacity right now. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. I want to help you something. For many people, we try to do what's right or walk in the right ways so that we can be counted worthy. But it's actually the flip side. That we have been counted worthy, so we walk and do what is right. We are not doing what's right to try to attain salvation or try to attain forgiveness. We have been declared righteous, so now we do what is right. You can say it this way. We don't walk to become worthy. We walk because we're worthy. That because of Christ, you have been made worthy. Every disqualifying thought, every disqualifying deed that tries to keep you at a distance from God, it's the blood of Jesus that has covered those things and made you righteous or made you worthy. So I don't do good things to get to God. I have been made worthy, made righteous, and so I do good things. That the good things that I do are to please God, but not to get favor from God. The good things that I do are to walk in God's ways so that I can achieve the life that he's promised for me. Life and life more abundantly. You don't get God's abundant life without doing life God's way. People are like, man, I want that abundant life. Well, you gotta do life God's way. You don't get his blessing without doing things his way. These choices are not to earn us salvation or some special favor with God, but to live life to the fullest. So Paul breaks down in this letter really how to stay transformed. Because all of us have seen people transformed in a moment or try to walk in freedom for a day. But to really be transformed, it has to be some type of consistent change. We probably all know or have worked with someone that is trying to change something, and they change for a little while, but it doesn't last. And eventually you get weary. Like, man, when is this gonna stick? When is this? And maybe you're weary with yourself. When am I gonna just be able to change this? And I wanna show you from this letter how Paul marks out some very practical things. And I want, like you do, I want God just to like touch me one day and I'm transformed. Never have a bad thought, never have an evil desire. I've been transformed. You know what I found? Is that in a moment, God will break bondage off your life. It'll happen. People lay hands on you, pray, God will break bondage. And then you're gonna have to choose to continue to walk out of that bondage, or you will end up back in the same place that you were. If you don't change something, if you don't change your behavior, if you don't change your thinking, you will end up at the same spot that you came from. Some of us, we keep on praying for deliverance, and what we do need to do is just walk in the deliverance that we already got by changing some of the habits and patterns in our life. Paul says this in verse 1, since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. This is what this is. This is exactly what he said in chapter 1. Change locations. So to set, if you ever poured concrete, and you know there is a season of time where concrete is moldable. You ever seen someone's handprint right in the curb? You know, right in the new sidewalk, someone's boot print? It's because it has not set. Once it's set, it's unmovable. When Paul says to set your heart, he's talking about identifying yourself in a new location. I'm not identifying myself in the domain of darkness, in my sin, in my habits, in my addictions. I'm identifying myself in a new place. It says it right in verse 1. It says, you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated. So I've been delivered from the domain of darkness, and now I'm in the kingdom of our God. So part of walking in freedom is setting my heart on a new location. Some of you are like, I'm an addict. I'm always going to be an addict. No, you're identifying with the old address. I've got to change addresses, set my heart. I'm free. I'm an overcomer. I'm a conqueror. This is changing your address. Says to set your hearts. For many of us, we set our hearts for a moment. We experience freedom for a moment, and then we sneak back to our old address. We experience freedom for a second, and then we sneak back to our old address. And this is why you see people vacillate in freedom. Because to walk in freedom or to be transformed, I have to identify in a new place. I have to set my heart in that place. Verse 2 says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Set your minds. Now, this is your thinking. This is your thought life. A lot of people are like, well, if I don't do it, then I didn't do anything wrong. No, your mind is so powerful. And I'm going to help you with something. To stop thinking a thought is very difficult. The more you focus on don't think that thought, the more you're thinking that thought. I don't just stop thinking a thought. I replace that thought with a greater thought. So it says, I want you to set your hearts, your location, out of your old address in your new address. But I also need you to set your mind. That means I have to think differently. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 is a really familiar passage of scripture. It's one of my favorites. And when we talk about walking into freedom or being transformed, it says this in Romans chapter 12, do not conform to the pattern of this world. So this tells me a couple things. There's a pattern of this world that calls me to conform. So there is a way of the world that will be a magnetic pull to me to try to fit in or to try to appease culture. So Paul says this, he says, don't conform to the pattern of this world. He wouldn't have said that if there wasn't a pull from the pattern of the world. So right now in 2024, there is a pull from culture. There is a pull from the world, and we cannot conform to that pattern. It says, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. So my transformation has to do with what I think about. My transformation has to do with my thought life. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Okay, check this out. You can't know the will of God until you've been transformed by the renewing of your mind. So as long as you've conformed to the pattern of the world, you are going to miss the will of God. Well, I just know it's God. Is it? If you're still conformed to the pattern of the world, you might be missing it. If you're after the wrong things, if you're living from the wrong address, you might be running after the wrong goals. Until I'm transformed by the renewing of my mind. Now, some of you are old enough to remember these. You remember these toys, the Etch-a-Sketch? Right? You like doodle the Etch-a-Sketch, and then you shake it, and you get a clean slate. This is what the picture of renewing your mind is. That by in your life, traumas, mistakes, good times, bad times, you have formed neurological pathways. You think the way you think for a reason. Because of things you've been through, because of things you've experienced. You're afraid of things because of what you've experienced. You're insecure because of things you've experienced. So you have formed neurological pathways, pathways of thinking that are normal to you, that are regular to you. But when you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, the picture of renewing is that all of those neurological pathways get completely washed away, clean slate. And now you form new neurological pathways by the renewing of your mind. It's been transformed by the renewing of your mind in accordance to the word of God. So now I'm not conformed to the pattern of the world, right? Now I have a clean slate and my thinking now is different. I'm thinking according to the word of God. Or for this illustration, you could say this. I'm thinking according to a new address. I'm not a loser. I'm not a failure. I'm not an addict. I'm redeemed. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I have self-control. I'm full of love. I'm full of forgiveness. Does this make sense? When I am renewed, I'm able to make different choices. And in the future, those different choices help me discern what the will of God is. He says, set your minds. Next one, he says this. This is pretty aggressive. Paul, in some areas, he says, take every thought captive, right? Well, now he says, he takes it up a notch. He says in verse 5, put to death. It's an aggressive stance. Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. For each of us, we struggle with something different. There are things that tempt you that don't tempt me. There are things that tempt me that don't tempt you. But whatever belongs to my old address, whatever has my number, whatever pulls me, I cannot play with, I cannot flirt with, I cannot hang around with, I have to put to death so that I can be transformed. You know how many people, they cry out to God for freedom and they never change addresses. They keep going to the same places, they keep watching the same stuff, they keep digesting the same information and thinking that they're going to be transformed. No, you're conforming to the place that you have consistently been at. So you have to put to death those things. Some people say, well, not everybody else is doing it. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing because what pulls you is different than what pulls me. So if you want to live in freedom and you want to be transformed, then you're willing to put to death some things that are not even dangerous to someone else. Well, man, that's drastic. How much do you want to be free? How much do you really want to be transformed? How much does it mean to you to walk in consistent freedom? You might have to put to death some things. Put to death whatever connects you to your earthly nature. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. This is Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. And he continues these same instructions. He says, that, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way, to your old address, to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Put off the old and put on the new. You know, this is actually how transformation works. We want it to be like this lightning bolt of transformation. Just pssow, and you're free. It's not that. Transformation is God breaks out the wall. He rescues you. He breaks off the wall, breaks out the walls that would hold you. But then I have to choose to continually pull from a new address, from new desires, from new identity, from new significance. Does this make sense to anybody? If you don't proactively move, put off the old and put on the new, you will always be a slave to the old address. If you want to be transformed, you have to put off the old. So I was thinking about this. What really makes transformation? What really makes transformation? And three things that I think are really important if you're going to really stay transformed. The number one thing is this: time. We want transformation to be an instant. Transformation takes time. It's not just one prayer time, one moment. All those are important because you need to have bondage broken off you. Some of us, we need the prayers of someone else to help break free of addiction or cycles or generational curses, these things broken off. But then you have to walk different. So I have to be committed to time. Transformation takes time. Salvation is free, but transformation has to be worked on. Salvation is free, but sanctification is a process. To be sanctified means to be called out and separated. You know, it could mean this, to be pulled from your old address and put into a new address. It's given a new location. You're sanctified. You're called. You're set apart for something different. You should be being sanctified, which means that you should be a better version of yourself today than you were last year. Because I'm not just having a moment of salvation, but now I walk with God. I'm being transformed. I'm having my mind renewed. So I'm in a process of sanctification. Transformation takes time. Transformation takes, and nobody likes this, takes training. It takes training? Transformation? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14 says, "But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." It takes training. It takes training and constant use to be able to understand, to decipher what is good and what is evil. You know, if you're not careful, by a creature of habit, you will gravitate back to your old address. The other day, we've almost moved houses now for almost a year. And the other day I was driving home from church. I was here at the church. I was driving home and I just kind of like cruise control in my mind, right? I'm just like, I'm heading home. And I started driving to my old house. I'm like, where am I going? I have not lived there for 11 months. But all of a sudden today, you have to, by constant use. Some people think going to church one time is going to transform me. No, it might break the walls out of your prison cell, but you are going to have to, by constant use, set your heart, set your mind, put to death so that you can be and walk in transformation. It takes training. And the third one, and this one I really like. Training, not so much. This one I really like. It's teamwork. Transformation takes teamwork. My wife, Jamie, was teaching the college students on Romans chapter 8. And she does an incredible job pulling apart chapter 8. And it's incredible, this teaching. And she's teaching it. And I was eavesdropping. And I was in my office, had the feed from the auditorium in there. And so I was listening. And she's talking about how these things or this life is made possible by the Spirit. Did you know the Holy Spirit is not just about tongues? The Holy Spirit is your helper. That God gave the Holy Spirit to team up with you, to help you overcome your past life and the past desires of your past life, to help you be transformed and stay transformed. In fact, without the Holy Spirit, there's no way that you could stay at this address. Your flesh is too strong. And it would consistently pull you back to old habits, old desires, old cravings, old patterns. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Bible teaches us the Holy Spirit is your comforter. He's your helper. He's your guide. He's your teacher. The Bible says the Holy Spirit teaches us about all things. So with time and with training and with teamwork, I find myself in a place of transformation. I was talking to my boys about the message, and I get stuck in these letters, as you can see. And then I have to like really manipulate everything so it just lines up, because the time and the training, right? And all of it's got to line up. And so they were like throwing letters out, and then I was preaching the message with a different letter, because that's just the way my brain works. But in this transformation journey, there's a tension. And the tension is this pull of our flesh that we will struggle with our entire lives while we're on this earth. Someday we're going to be with Jesus and you're going to have a new body and a new heaven, a new earth, and you're not going to struggle. But while we're here, we will always have a tension of transformation that pulls us back to our sinful nature. And this is why Paul says that you have to set your mind and your heart, and you have to put to death the old address with its desires and its cravings so that you can live a life transformed. I was praying this week and just praying over the message, and I thought of this, that when Jesus called his first disciples, he calls fishermen, some of his first disciples. He calls them, and the Bible says, it says that they threw down their nets and they followed him, which we think is the obvious response. Jesus is calling you, of course. Put down whatever you have and follow him. But Jesus is also calling you. And for them, their nets represented their significance, their worth, their occupation, what they were known for. But when Jesus called, there was a laying down so that they could follow him. And I think sometimes we get living righteously backwards, and sometimes we get following Jesus backwards. That we live righteous so Jesus will love us, and we follow Jesus so that we can get what we want. And it's the opposite. That Jesus loves us whether we're good or bad. He loves us. So we live righteous because he's made us righteous, and we don't follow him so that we can just get what we want. Following him is a laying down. It's a surrendering. And I thought, you know what? The reason I think most people don't walk in transformation is that they had a moment with God and they never laid down their old life. They never laid down their past. They never laid down their old address. They never laid down their nets. And I felt like what God wanted to do today is maybe just like a call of reckoning for all of us, whether you walk with God all your life or whether you're new to the faith or whether you've never said yes to Jesus, a call to him to say, I'm actually gonna lay it down. I was meeting with a guy this a couple months ago now in my office, and we were having an awesome conversation about the Lord, and he just was talking about the struggle in his own heart just to say yes to the things of God. And he leaned back right in my office, tears coming down his face, and he said, I surrender. It was powerful. I felt the presence of God in my office like, oh man, this is powerful. He said, I'm done fighting. I surrender. You know, for many of us, the struggle really is not even the struggle against sin. It's the struggle to lay it down and to be identified in a new location with new opportunities and new freedom. You should be, because you've been transferred, you should be transformed. That's not to condemn anybody that's not. That's to give you an opportunity to say that this life with Jesus is not about just going to church, singing a song, lifting a hand. This life with Jesus is about relationship. I've been redeemed, I've been saved, but now also I'm gonna be sanctified. I'm gonna become more like Jesus. And the greatest testimony that we could give the world is the power of a changed life. The greatest testimony you could show your family, you could show your coworkers, is that I once was this way, but now I'm this way. That I don't have to just say I go to church or I'm a bad Christian or a good Christian. They know that I was once this way, but now I'm this way. That's transformation. And that's what the power of the cross gives us the opportunity to do, to have a transformed life, to leave in yesterday what was yesterday and to step into what's new. What do we say in the beginning? That whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old address with its cravings and desires is gone. And a new life, brand new, has come.